We start this podcast off with a story from a listener named Luke in Plymouth, Minnesota. Luke's short story is called The Day I Understood My Dad's Unconditional Love for Me. My dad was a gardener before it was cool. He would proudly tell people, "Look, I can grow just about anything, except for one thing, lilacs. I loved lilacs as a kid, but for whatever reason, with no luck, he couldn't grow them in our garden. And one night, when I was a teenager, it rained horribly, the way it does in Minnesota in April. I heard a creak at the side door, and I saw my dad standing there, soaking wet, etched with scratches, holding an abundance of lilacs. "I found them," he said, "a sweet lilac spot. It wasn't easy, but I found them." Thank you for listening to Becoming a Great Dad. Luke, if you're listening, man, look, thank you for sharing that short story. That was amazing. And I love to hear stories like that. Just, you know, just the simpleness of how, you know, you loved those flowers and your dad being a gardener and just him not being able to get his son those flowers. And then whatever adventure or quest he went on that rainy day in April to find that sweet spot, man, that is love. That's definitely love. So appreciate that, Luke. Welcome, everyone. If you don't know, by now you are listening to the Becoming a Great Dad podcast. I'm your host, Chris Bode. Thank you again for joining me. I believe, if I'm not mistaken, this is our 13th episode. I could be wrong. I probably got to check the numbers. 13, 14. I'll figure it out. But thank y'all for listening as usual. I have been on a bit of a hiatus, a bit of a break. You may or may not have noticed. I think the last podcast I did was mid to late February. So kind of took a little break. But here's what I'm going to say. I'm going to say that the break was for a good reason. Okay. Part of it was just, you know, I'd say 15% laziness, maybe 55%, you know, family stuff. But here's the thing. While I was on break, I wasn't totally lazy. You all probably have already heard about in previous episodes about the Great Dad Society collection. I actually took time off from the podcast to take the Great Dad Society collection and really make it something more than what I thought about. So, you know, what happened was we had got such a great response back from dads about it. I decided to take that and make it its own brand and make it its own thing. And so we're going to be having a huge launch early April. I believe the launch date is April 6th. But I'm going to give you guys a scoop and a skinny beforehand because, of course, you guys are loyal listeners. But here's the thick of it, right? You can right now, you can go to greatdadsociety.com. Okay, that's greatdadsociety.com. And, you know, this is going to be the same merchandise and material that we talked earlier. But I really want to hone on that this is not just like us coming up with merch to sell. I, as a dad, am always looking for things to wear, hats, shirts, whatever, to really show people that I'm proud of being a dad. I excel, and I am really happy about like what fatherhood offers. But I really didn't find a lot of good dad wear. I mean, it was stuff that was outdated. And so, and to me, part of this premise is, yeah, I wanted to make clothes look cool, but I really want this collection to speak to the commitment, the hard work, the dedication, just like Luke's dad, that dads put in every day and every out. So again, right, we're going to have a huge celebration, a huge launch on April 6th, but you can actually go now, go to greatdadsociety.com and you can kind of jump the curb and see what we're going out. You can also follow us on Instagram as well, Great Dad Society. Look it up and follow us, and we're going to have a lot more information coming out as well too. So that's what I have been doing during the break. Not too lazy, because I've been really, really hammering away at that. I also want to talk about, you know, kind of just the direction of the podcast and where we're going. I think I decided right before this podcast that, you know, I think we have 3 episodes left that will get us to 16 episodes. And 16 to me has always been a good number in my life. So what I'm going to do is, after that 16th episode, that'll be the end of season 1. So everything that we kind of heard, you know, up until then will be season 1. And then I'm going to take a hiatus, really take a little vacation, and probably come back right before Father's Day in June. So, you know, I'll probably take a month off. But I'm going to deliver you guys 3 more episodes to get us to 16, take a month off, and then come back for Father's Day. And then we're going to go into season 2. Now, here's what I really want to commit to in season 2. I really want to commit to really getting other guests on the podcast, dads on the podcast. And we're really going to get deeper and deeper in the topics about resilience, about masculinity. I'm probably saying that wrong. About feminism, about parental burnout. I really want to, you know, like really dig deep and try to talk about some current issues. But I really want to get other dads' opinions and experiences and thought. So in season 2, and I'm hoping I can do this for every episode, but we'll kind of see how it goes. But I really want to try to have the majority of the episodes really be guest focused. So that'll be something brand new and cool. You won't just hear me talking all the time. You're going to hear other people as well too. If you're interested, if you're a dad and you're interested, you know, and you want to be on the show, hey, reach out. Okay. Reach out to me either on my website at chrisabodie.com, or you can reach out through Becoming a Great Dad. Or you can also reach out through Great Dad Society, or leave a voice memo, whatever is good for you. Okay. But that's going to be the upcoming stuff. So now that we got the intro stuff out the way, let's get to the actual show. So we're going to be talking about, fostering cohesion. And in the title, I know I said blended families. And to be honest with you, you know, even if you don't have a blended family, these same tactics will actually work for just a regular family, right? So if you just got kids that are all yours, you know, these same things will be helpful. You may not go through the same experiences that we do, but I specifically want to talk about blended families because we are one. And I think that's a topic that is not talked about often. And we really don't hear the challenges of blended families, and nobody talks about how to get over those challenges. So I wanted to take time on the podcast today to break that down. But again, right, if you're listening to this, like, look, don't stop the podcast. You're like, Chris, I'm going to build a family. That's okay. Like, your regular family can use this too. So first things first, let's kind of get into talk, you know, what is a quote unquote, I'm doing air quotes for y'all, a blended family. And it's, you know, it's pretty simple. You know, this is a family who, you know, where you have a step parent, step mom, step dad. You know, if you have got married or in a relationship and that person has children, and you have children, and now you have to then bring these separate families together. And we now have to be one family unit, one whole unit. And we have to move, think, act, you know, as a family, you know. I was trying to think if on television, if there was an example of a blended family. The only one I could think of, and this was a show, and And I'm sorry. No. This was a movie. This was a movie where like the guy had like six kids, the lady had six kids, and they had to like buy this huge house and move like the 16 of them together, right? I mean, like that is, you know, that's an extreme example. And I forget what the movie name, I'm sorry, but that's an extreme example of a blended family. But, you know, that is really what we're talking about. In terms for us, you know, when Toya and I met, sort of kind of give you a breakdown, I had already had a son from a previous marriage, Chris Jr. She had already had two kids, Heaven and Emmanuel. And so it really was a thing where, like, you know, one family, it was just two guys. Like me and Chris were both guys, we're both boys, and we were like comfortable living, you know, like guys do, you know how we do. And then, you know, and then we have, you know, two women and a young boy, and it really was, you know, a shock to the system to be like, okay, so like now, so you know, so imagine two people in the house, and now, oh, hey, by the way, we're going to have, you know, three extra people living here. Or even on Toya's side, like, hey, it was the three of y'all, go ahead and add two more to the mix, you know. And so that's our breakdown. Now, so back then we first met, it was only like three kids. Of course, now we have four kids with our youngest daughter. And so just to kind of give you the ages, you know, Heaven is 21, Chris 15, Emmanuel 8, being a 3. So you'll see like those gaps. And I always like to tell their ages to really paint the picture that, you know, we are really dealing with the gambit of each stage of life. So when I speak to you about this stuff, I speak to you from, you know, all those stages. Like we don't just kind of have kids all bunched together sharing rooms. No, like we have an adult, we have a teenager, we have a preteen and a baby. And so we're kind of getting it from all angles. But you know, that's our family. And what I wanted to kind of talk about or give advice to you guys about is a couple different things. One, just kind of talk about some of the challenges that I think we faced early on, or we noticed at the very beginning of us getting together. I really want to define cohesion, right? We know what that word means, but like, what does cohesion mean to me as a dad, and what does that mean to my family? You know, I want to talk about like, how do you actually make two people bond? Like how do you take two strangers and over a period of time make them bond together? And then I kind of want to round it out and just give you some personal advice, and then talk about how Toya and I were able to meet those challenges, or how we're still dealing with them, and what the plan, you know, that we have to overcome them. Because again, right, the goal for us is to be a really strong, cohesive family unit. So we, you know, we have been, I believe we've been married for 8 years now. So I'm gonna kind of take you back 8 years ago. You know, some of this stuff we, you know, we saw kind of early on when the family got together, and some stuff kind of reared its head as time goes on. But I'm gonna just kind of list to you all bullet point style. These are some of the challenges that, you know, a blended family could have. And again, right, if you don't have a blended family, you might also be seeing the same stuff. But again, right, these are just some of the specific items that we saw. And the very first one of them, which was probably the most prevalent, was this us versus them mentality. Right? I mean, because, you know, I mean, because you technically do have strangers who are coming to live with you in your house. So it's kind of like, well, that's what they do, and this is what we do, you know? The other thing too, and for like the parents, like for Toya and I, you know, difference in parenting styles and how we corrected. We also went from, you know, having two people in the house to having five people. So that's five personalities. That's five people needing their own space. And, you know, that cannot be overlooked, the personalities and the space needs of the people. The other thing was conflict with step parents. And we definitely had that. The other thing was chores. You know, how do you divvy out chores and do it in a fair way? And, you know, but then what if one person, you know, never gave out chores and now the expectation is to do chores? So like that in itself can be a thing. How do you track it? How do you, you know, make it reasonable? And then, you know, the other thing, which I think is really the biggest thing, is how do we bond? Like, how do we have a strong bonding and emotional connection so we really do feel like a family? And I'm going to talk about these challenges for us at the end of the podcast and talk about kind of how we overcame them. But I tell you one important story or one important thing that happened that I believe every dad must do. And I did this early on. And the earlier you do it, the better. And that is setting the tone. And so I'll tell you a quick little story. This was the day that Toya was moving in to the house, my house. She was in an apartment and we had gotten a U-Haul and all the kids pitched in. Everybody helped pack up. They packed the whole apartment up. We drove it over to the house, well, to our house now. And we unpacked everything. And it was a day of excitement and fun and new rooms and new people and take out food and sweat and whatever. And I remember at the end of the day, two things happened. We were sitting in what was then Chris's room. And so one key thing that happened is that, so, you know, so Toya's church has church on Thursday and Sunday. So like, you know, Sunday is normal mass, Thursday Bible study. I had never gone to church on Thursday. I only went to church on Sunday. And so, you know, one of the questions was, well, wait a minute. Are we going to go to church with them? Like, are we also going to go to church Thursday? And so that was a thing. And so I remember sitting in Chris's room. And really, when I go back to think about it, that was really our first unofficial family meeting. I didn't even call a family meeting. I just said, hey, let me talk to y'all for a second. And we all sat on the floor and we're all tired. And I told them two things that I really think set the tone. The first thing I said, you know, Chris, you know, we will be attending church, our Bible study, not on Thursdays, right? And we'll still go on Sunday, but we will also go on Thursday. And the other thing I said is I also said that, and this was really more, I mean, this was directed toward Heaven and Emmanuel. Now, Emmanuel was a little small. He was a baby then. And it was, but this was directed toward the two of them, but it was also a statement for the family. I said that I will never call you all my stepchildren. I told Heaven, I will never refer to you as my stepdaughter. I will never refer to Emmanuel as my stepson, ever. I actually have never called them that out of my mouth from day one. I said, I will always refer to you as my daughter and as my son. And so setting the tone, I think, is very important, or really I should say, you know, setting the tone or setting the vision for this blended family that, no, we are together. And I think what I did inadvertently was two things. The first thing is that when I said, hey, we're going to church as a family on Thursday, even though we had never done that before, I was saying that we are a family. We are a whole. We're not going to go off and have, you know, two people do a separate thing and two people. No. We do this together. And so the expectation, the tone, the vision was that, hey, there's a bond there. There is a stickiness factor that if one do, we all do. The other thing is that when I told them about the non-step thing, you know, that was to say inadvertently, there is no more us and them. It is we. It's we now. We are all the Bodies, right? Your last name may be different, but this family is all together. And, you know, we went about that evening like it was a regular evening. And I think later on, Toya came back to me and said, man, like, look, like, I don't think you understood the impact of what just happened in there. But I think, you know, again, right, that is very important for you to set that tone and for you to set that vision and really do it early on so there's no question about what this family is. So how do you define cohesion? And let me tell you what I'm not going to do, okay? And I'm sorry if this is slightly offensive. I'm not going to say anything bad. Don't worry. I know Toy is listening like, oh my God, what's he going to say? I'm not going to do the Webster Dictionary says. I personally do not like that. And if you have done that in the past before or know somebody who has done that, no ill toward them. I'm just saying my personal speaking habit. I don't like that. But I'm not going to define what cohesion is. We all, as adults listening, know what cohesion is, right? But I'm going to give you a word that I like. And while I like the word cohesion, I also like the word stickiness, right? How do we foster the stickiness in that family? And stickiness means literally stick together through thick and thin, like we are a family, you know? And so I know, and, you know, looking back at it, you know, Toya and I did this. We almost did this inadvertently because we never sat down and say, you know, these are the handful of things that we want to do to make sure. No. We kind of had to me, almost the same values when it came down to how are we going to make this family stick together. And to keep it simple, I kind of thought of three things that, you know, we would constantly repeat and say to the kids over and over again. And what those things are were, they were loyalty, they were trust, and they were love. Now, what do I mean by those three? Because, of course, those are really general words, right? What does loyalty really mean to this family? Well, you know, loyalty to our family really means being loyal to each other. And that means, and Heaven said this one time, and this kind of epitomizes the loyalty, but, you know, she's older, Chris is older, you know, they don't really, well, now they really talk a lot and speak more. But in the beginning, you know, there was that age gap, and they really, you know, they really didn't speak a lot. And I mean, it wasn't because they didn't like each other. They just, you know, she was a older teenage girl and he was a preteen, so there really wasn't much to say. But I remember Heaven saying one day, like, yo, look, even when we don't talk much, like, that's my brother. So, like, if something happened, like, look, click, click, boom, boom, like, somebody gonna get it. And so, like, what she meant by that, to break that down, was that if something pop off, I got your back. And that mean in a fight, that mean if somebody talking about you, saying something, that mean I'm gonna bail you out. You know, if you go to jail or whatever, like, and when she said that, I realized, yes, like, good, like, that's the kind of stickiness and that's the kind of loyalty I want you to have for your brother. The other one is trust. And trust was, you know, was a big thing, you know, and trust that, look, like, what happens in his family stays in his family, and we'll deal with it first. And we trust each other to, first of all, not air our family business. But then we also trust each other, you know, that if we know or hear vulnerable things, that we don't misuse that trust, right? Because you're living in a house with somebody, you know secrets, you find out stuff. And if you use that information for ill intent, like, that could break the bond. And then, you know, the last thing was love. And really, love for us was being selfless. Like, and we always talk about this to all the kids, like, look, like, you are your brother's or your sister's keeper. You are. You have a duty to them. There's a responsibility that you have to them. So it's not just you, right? You, like, we want you to love them, but what does that mean? That means being selfless, right? Tato does this thing where I think this is probably the sweetest and most compassionate act of stickiness and cohesion and really selflessness. But he's 8 and he is really, really good at cleaning his room. And his sister, who is 3, you know, she's kind of at that age where, you know, she can't really clean up just yet. She's kind of still learning. And so sometime without asking, Tato will go and he will clean Bina's entire room. He will put away her toys. He will make her bed. And y'all give me a second because my air conditioner just cut on. I'm trying to use this app to cut it off. I'm not gonna edit this out. This is like real world podcasting. But he will. Now, I have to sometimes tell him to, you know, to do that. But sometimes he does it on his own, and that is the true definition of, for our family, what love is. To not only at 8 years old now, to not only go clean your room, but then turn around and clean your sister's room, who messes it up every single day, you know. And so that loyalty, that trust, and that love, those are things that we constantly talk about to the kids. That's for our family. For your family, it could be something different, but those are things that we constantly talk about to the kids, again, to continue to foster, to massage, whatever verb to throw in there, that stickiness of the family. And now, a word from our sponsor. Now, out of everything that we're going to talk about or learn, I think this is probably the one thing that everybody is most interested in, because I know this to me was the one that was extremely intriguing. But here's the question, and you can take this with a blended family or a regular family. Here's a question: how do you get people to bond? I mean, like, really have a strong emotional bond and connection. And not that movie type, like, oh, bro, I love you, I'd die for you type stuff. Like, no. How do you get people to really bond? Now, in a normal family, if you have kids who, you know, that's their blood sister or blood brother, it may be a little easier. And sometimes it's not, because even your blood get on your nerves, right? But for a blended family, it becomes just an extra hurdle because, you know, that person really is a stranger to you. Like, you don't know them. Like, you know, when we got married, you know, I'm sure heaven was like, I mean, yeah, I know I have another brother now, but I don't really know this kid. Like, who is he? You know? And so, you know, how do you really get people to bond? Well, I'm gonna give you a secret sauce. Okay. And if you learn nothing else tonight, this is going to be the big nugget. And I learned this personally from my time in the military. I was in the Marine Corps for 8 years. And so if you think about the military, that is a perfect example of taking total strangers with total different backgrounds, putting them together, and then they're coming out. And I came out of boot camp, and I also served in a war between 03 and 04 in Afghanistan and Pakistan. And I fought alongside people who were different colors, different backgrounds, different nationalities. And I can tell you without hesitation, I would take a bullet for any one of those people in a heartbeat. So how did that happen? Like, how did I go from like not knowing this person to essentially be willing to risk my life for these people? Well, I broke it down into two different areas. One is through shared experiences, and the other is through hardships. Now, if you take a look at that in context of a family, what does that mean? Well, let's do this, okay? Let's take an example or do a visual, and let's draw a big circle, let's say in the air on the left-hand side, and in that circle, let's write shared experiences. And then on the right-hand side, another big circle, and you write hardships, right? And let's connect those two together and make a circle on top and draw a line to it and say bond, like real strong bond. And then let's go back down to shared experience, and then let's draw a line off of that, and we'll say planned adventures and experiences. And then off of hardships, we'll say unplanned experiences. So if you got that visual in your head, or even if you want to write it down, right? At the very top, you got the word bond, strong connection. And from bond, it splinters off into two other words. You got shared experiences and hardships. And then off of shared experiences, you have planned, and basically off of hardships, unplanned. And that is the map. That is the key. Now, I'll break down to you what that map and what that key looks like. So first, let's talk about the experiences. I have learned that the way you take strangers, or one way you take strangers, and you get them to bond together is through shared experiences. Now, in the military, you have shared experiences because you go through boot camp together, basic training, or you go to war together. So, that's an experience. But in a family, right? A family setting, you have to sometimes actually plan those experiences. For us, I think one of the planned things that is shared is our family trips. And we started this when the kids were small, but every summer we would take a family trip. I think the only reason we didn't take one, obviously, this summer, because, well, last summer, because of COVID, and I think prior to that, Toya was pregnant. But every year we took a family trip, and that planned shared experience. Now, I'm not talking about planning no fake kumbaya session. I'm just saying you need to plan an experience that everyone can enjoy together. And the most, I think, memorable family trip was the last one we went on. And that one was to, I think, Florida. Everyone was there. Bina, Emmanuel, Chris, having me, Toya. We got an Airbnb, and it was just lovely. Toya does a great job of doing the planning part of it, getting the room, planning the activities. She understands that people needed their space. She even understands like how not to plan too much activities, right? But we as a family have a time to put away devices. Yes, we have our separate rooms, but like I find that people come out in the living space area together. We have time to talk, to joke, to sit. Like, we sat outside on the balcony a bunch of times and just sat and joked and talked. You know, when do we get that kind of time at home? You don't. You don't really. And so, you know, you also have these moments that happen, like funny moments. Like, I think one time there was a there was a roach in the Airbnb, and we were trying to find it, and the roach was flying, and Chris, of all people, killed the roach, and everybody went ballistic because, like, that was like a super triumphant moment. Again, right? These are Florida roaches. Okay, these are huge, right? And so, but like, that's an experience that we won't forget. Or even like when Chris and Tato and myself went parasailing, like, again, that's an experience. Or when I think Heaven and Toya, they also went parasailing. Or we've had other family trips where, like, there's one family trip we always talk about. We went to this water park, Liberty Lagoon. And as Toya's listening, I'm sorry, but I gotta tell it. Toya went on this water slide and she lost her her shoe. And we laugh at that and everybody brings it up and it's so funny. But something about taking people and even strangers and putting them together and having them go through a shared experience, right? And as parents, we can plan these trips. And look, this doesn't have to be an actual trip. This can be a small, you know, picnic, movie night. But as long as you are continuously having an experience for them, not just presents, not just go play with your brother, your sister, but what can we do as a family to share that time together? I think just recently, we did a skate night. Everybody was bought skates in the house, and we literally rearranged the house to be like skate country. We had a concession area, and the kids got to skate. We had a strobe light. Toya got them neon, you know, the neon thing. We played music, and they skated their hearts out and had a great time. Even if we never do that again, we will never forget the night that we all skated together. And so those are the kind of things that when we talk about shared experience that really bond people together. And then you have the hardships. You have, and hardships, they're a little harder because these are unplanned. These are things that you don't expect to happen, but you can use as an opportunity to rally the family around. Okay. You know, like a death in the family, or if someone has a health scare, or even now, even during a pandemic, like, this is a very stressful time for families, and families are going through some real hardships. How, as a father, can I use it as an opportunity to bond my family together? Now, I'm going to talk about some, going back real quick to the shared experiences, because I had a kind of list of three ideas to give you. I forgot to talk about that. And then I'll just kind of jump really quickly back to the hardships and tell a story about a hardship that we had. Again, that really was a bonding moment. But really quickly, I put down these three things that are some great planned shared experiences. One is called a yes day. Now, this is funny because I was watching a movie with Tato, and if you have Netflix, go on Netflix, watch the movie with your kids, A Yes Day. And what it was is that the parents decided, like, hey, we're going to say yes to every single thing you ask today with some rules around it. And the kids get to decide, and they get to ask five things, and they have a budget, right? But the entire day is a yes day. You want to eat ice cream in the morning time? Yes. You want to go to the mall and blow some money? Yes. You want to roll down a hill? Yes. You want to, you know, you want to throw water balloons filled with milk? Yes, right? And so I thought that was a super interesting concept. And it really, and for the parents, it really broke down the barrier of always saying no, 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 no. You got to say yes, but the kids in the movie really planned some awesome stuff. But again, I won't spoiler, go see the movie. The other thing is like having a day where there's a multi-activity day. So, you know, you really can't bond with, like, for example, going to the show because, again, right, people just go to the show, they sit in quiet, they watch a movie, they go home. You know, or going out to eat, you're going out to eat, you don't have to talk, and you go home. I like to think about what multiple activity can we do where it's going to promote, like, people being active and people talking and people whatever. And then the third thing is like a thought provoking activity, right? Is there something that we can show or bring the kids to that will really provoke thought? Like, wow. Like, and for example, one time we brought them to the World War II Museum. We have it down here in New Orleans, and just all the history behind what happened, World War II. And that whole thing, like the kids really left and they were asking questions like, da-da-da. And I mean, and it was really more of them just learning about history, but to get them talking and for us as a family to be able just to learn something new that day or something that we didn't know about. So, you know, again, those are kind of three ideas that I kind of jotted down, you know, of what items could be some really good share plan things. Now, let me jump back to the hardship. Sorry for the back and forth. But I was going to tell you about, and I think I actually talked about this on a previous episode, a hardship that we had as a family that was really a great opportunity for us to bond. And I'm going to call this the poo-poo story. Because calling it the toilet story, it sounds too bland, but I'm going to call it the poo-poo story. But what happened one day, we were all sitting downstairs, me, Chris, Toya, the kids too. I think Heaven was in her room. And Heaven's bathroom is downstairs. And so I walked around in the living room and I said, there's water on the floor. And then I looked around and I said, wait a minute, there's water like all by the baseboard, like a ton of water. And so what had happened was Heaven's toilet had backed up and there was some stuff. Okay. I'm going to just say stuff that had backed up out the toilet. And so now I have a toilet whose water I cannot get to stop running. That water has already kind of flooded, I would say, 40 to 50% of my downstairs living room, and who knows what is in this water. And that is the poo-poo story. But what happened next was really a testament to the work that we have been doing to really get this family to be cohesive. Because that was a real hardship. All of a sudden we went into active mode. You know, Chris immediately went to grab towels. Toya immediately said, okay, we got to think of an action plan. Heaven went outside of her comfort zone and was stepping in the water and using her own towels. I started moving stuff. Toya immediately thought, you know what? We got to get the other two kids out of here. They're not going to do well, and we can't, you know, we can't work with them. So she took him, brought him by her mama's house. And so the four of us, me, Toya, Chris, and Heaven, all actively engaged in trying to find solutions to this problem and also clean up. Now, look, normally we would have had to explain to the kids or Chris, like, how to clean up, what to do. Not this time. This time they were on it, right? And what also was great was that when we had times of conflict, like, for example, one conflict was I was trying to figure out, okay, what can we use to stop up the water? And Toya said, look, we're going to just have to use every single available towel we have. And my thought was like, wait a minute. If we use our good bathroom towels and our hand towels on this toilet water, I'm throwing these suckers away, which meant that I'm going to have to buy all brand new towers for all of us. That's a lot of money. And so that was a point of contention. And even in that point of conflict, I immediately just, well, okay, not immediately, right? After some coercing, like, Chris and Heaven were like, Dad, look, listen, got to do it. Go. I said, all right, fine. And so we used every available tower we had to sop that water up. And not only that, you know, for me, it was a moment of uncomfortableness because, again, then this was a bill of getting an emergency plumber out, you know, late on a Tuesday night, buying all new towels, buying some all new stuff. And so, you know, but at the end of it, we kind of sat around after everything was dry and clean. And I said, man, just that whole evening was just, that was a hardship on many levels, a hardship financially, a hardship for conflict, a hardship for people's comfort level. But it really, we really use it as an opportunity as a family to bond together. The kids may never think about that as a bonding experience, but I saw it. Like, I saw how we all moved as a unit and we all moved together in sync. And we all had solutions together during that experience. So last thing I want to leave you with is, I talked about the challenges in the beginning, and I said that at the end I would kind of tell you how we dealt with those challenges. So here we go. The us versus them thing. I'm gonna kind of go back to what I said earlier, in that what I did was really set the tone at the very beginning, and I think a couple of times I said, look, there is no us, there is no them, it's we. But you have to constantly be looking for little things that separate the family. And I'll tell you one thing, because Chris did this for a very long time, right? Chris would say, like, if I told Chris, hey, Chris, go get Heaven and tell her to come here. Chris would go to Heaven and say, hey, my dad said come here. Now, what's wrong with that statement? Can anybody pinpoint what's wrong with the statement he said? Well, the key word in it, or key words that is incorrect, is my dad. I'm everybody's dad now. I'm not just your dad, right? What he should have said was, hey, dad wants to see you. Because him putting the my in front of it, my dad, this is my father, mine. He's mine first, right? That is what it could be taken at. So I had to tell him, hey, son, listen, it's not just my dad, it's just dad, okay? The different parenting styles and correction. I you know, this was something that, you know, I'm going to say hats off to Toya with, because, like, she hopped on this early on and I really was a knucklehead and didn't listen to her. And I'm finally, and I hope I'm finally turning a corner. Her thing was, look, you really have to explain to children the why behind. And, you know, we grew up, growing up, my parents didn't explain the why. If I got a whipping or I was in trouble, I didn't ask no questions, you know, but explaining the why behind it and using every situation as an opportunity to explain the why and to explain what we're trying to do for you really was a game changer. Space and personality. Look, we've got a lot of personalities in his family. I think one of the greatest thing is that, you know, so nobody's ever shared a room. Everyone has their own room. Even in the very beginning, the very first house we had was smaller, and we actually gave Heaven the master bedroom. And we took, like, the garage was already converted into a room, so we took that room. But we made sure everybody had their room and their stuff. And when we bought another house, again, we have more space where people have their area. But the space thing, having your own space, is for us huge. conflict with step parents. I'm gonna speak from my experience. And like I said earlier, yes, we did have conflict, but what I had learned about the conflict is that you can't be afraid to, you know, to address it. You can't be afraid to, and the way I addressed the conflict was twofold, right? The way I addressed it was to first go to, like, you know, Chris's mom and say, look, can you pass this information, you know, on to his stepdad for me? And if he needs more clarification, I'm happy to talk to him. And there has been a couple instances where I have called and talked to him and said, look, you know, I don't like this or I don't like that, and but here's why, okay? Here's the reason why. And I understand if you disagree with it, but out of respect, I would appreciate if, you know, you didn't say this or didn't do that. And that has actually worked. And that has actually worked to lessen the conflict. Now, that doesn't mean that everybody will be agreeable, right, all the time. But at least if you approach the conflict with a, look, I want to try to explain to you where I'm coming from. And once I explain that, if you don't take heed to it, okay, you know. The other item, give me a second, I'm trying to get my notes up, was chores. And in this house, and, you know, this is one thing that, you know, I am still kind of struggling with, because I, you know, I didn't do a good job of instilling a good work ethic, a long time ago. And so the chores thing is, you know, I want to make sure chores are equal and fair. So the chores are divvied up, fair. But I also want my boys to make sure that they put a little more elbow grease or put a little more work. Like, I don't want the women in the house to have to work harder than the men in the house. I want the men in the house to say, hey, I'm a step up. I'm going to take care of this house. I'm going to do extra. And we're still, I'm still learning how to navigate that the right way. But the chores are definitely equal. And we're trying to get the younger kids, doing chores more at a younger age, so it comes to them second nature. And then, you know, the last thing is just the bonding time and the connection. And so one thing we try to do is that, you know, we try to have a family activity or family outing at least once or twice a quarter. And I say a quarter because that's every 3 months. And the reason is once a quarter is because we try to budget for it, right? We have 6 people in the house, so we have to really budget, like if we're going out to eat or doing something big, because that's a lot of people, right? But we really have to budget for that. But again, right, we at least try to do 1 or 2 things every 3 months. So you figure if we do at least 2 things, what? Okay, I'm going to do quick math. That's 2, 4, 6, 8. There's 3. Y'all get what I'm saying, okay? We try to do at least between 6 to 8 to 10 family related activities throughout the entire year, right? And just think about if you can incorporate at least 1 family activity every 3 months, how beneficial that'll be for your family to bond together. All right, y'all, we are at the end of the podcast. The AC keeps on cutting on. I think the kids keep on cutting it off. I'm doing my dad thing where I'm turning the AC off when they turn it on, because I'm in the closet recording this podcast. I'm like, look, y'all, the AC is turning on, but I don't have time to text them. These kids put my AC on like 79, whatever like that. So, but look, thank you all again for tuning in. I appreciate it. Once again, check out the website, greatdadsociety.com. Check that out. Big announcement again, you know, coming in April. And we're going to have some really good episodes to finish out season 1. And I'll see y'all next time.